In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. What a blessed day. What a blessed day. So we heard in the Gospel today this beautiful, long prayer of Christ to the Father. But just before this, the Gospel reading just before this in John, he spends time teaching with his disciples just prior to his arrest and crucifixion. And he tells them, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. Yet take heart, for I have overcome the world." And this is exactly what we witness today in baptism. The power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism have overcome the world. Anthony has been baptized into the death-destroying death of Christ and raised to new life in Christ also. The world has been overcome. We see the corruption of sin that existed previously, not that Anthony sinned, nor particularly his parents, but that all of us sin. And we add to a context of sinfulness. And yet that sinfulness that we have polluted the world with is overcome in the waters of baptism. And Anthony today has been granted a pure white robe. Glory to God. So as I mentioned before, the Gospel today is this beautiful prayer of Christ to his Father before his crucifixion. And in it, he says something that is, at least I overlooked it in my youth, but is so important. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Brothers and sisters, this is salvation, to know God and to be in communion with him. This is our purpose. What does that mean, to know God? What does that look like? What work must we be doing as the example to guide Anthony in his life in Christ? Well, a little further on in the prayer, Christ gives us that answer also. To know God is to live according to him, to accomplish his works, as Christ says in this prayer. But again, what does that look like? So practically speaking, there are three primary ways that we accomplish the works of God and come to know him. And it begins with prayer, specifically at home. We have to be praying at home. So that prayer that we begin at home is then brought to the church and joined together with all everyone else's prayers as we raise them up in worship of God. This prayer should have a regular time, place, and content. This is the primary way that we get to know him in a real sense. Moving beyond purely an intellectual knowledge about God to a knowledge of him. again, moving past this intellectual knowledge about God to a deeper knowledge of God. So that's number one, prayer. Number two, participation in the liturgical life of the church. We have beautiful services and sacraments, two of which we're currently serving, the Divine Liturgy and baptism. We're not done with the baptism, by the way. But the services and sacraments of the church, the fasts and the feasts, the daily, weekly, and yearly rhythms of liturgical life. Participate in these. Enter into them, love them, and come to know God in them. Number two, liturgical life. So prayer and liturgical life. Number three is living in community with others. The next part of the prayer that Jesus says to the Father, he asks that they might be one, even as we are one. In other words, that we might be one, even as Christ and his Father are one. And he continues, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. This unity, one with another in Christ, is exactly the work of the 318 Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council who we celebrate today. This is what they set out to do and accomplish, and they did. There were all of these various false teachings about who Christ was, especially that he was not of one essence with the Father, that he was not one with the Father. And these fathers that lived 1700 years ago got together to combat these false teachings and unite all Christians in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Living in community with others, being in unity with one another. And most often, what that looks like for us is breaking bread, sharing a meal. We did it last night at our first summer barbecue after Vespers. We'll do it again at coffee hour and several more times as long as God allows. And this is a beautiful thing, because this is a continuation of the sacramental meal of the Eucharist that Christ instituted with his disciples at the Last Supper. So we receive the Eucharist here at the in the church, and then we carry that with us and continue this meal of thanksgiving with one another out on the patio and in the fellowship hall. We also have many opportunities to share in the joys and sorrows of life, to lend a helping hand when needed, and especially, to endure the frictions that do arise between individuals. This is part of living in community, and it is a saving part. We are saved by learning to patiently endure those frictions. Thank God. So we have three things: prayer, the liturgical life, and living in community with one another. And in doing these three things, we live according to God and we accomplish his works. So that in living according to Christ and not myself, I become less self-centered and more Christ-centered. And if we ourselves come to know God, we will be better equipped to to help guide others, especially little Anthony, wherever he is. We come to know God through a life lived in Him. He is both our starting place and our goal. If you look up, He is our Alpha and our Omega. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.